she wanted to work for the New York World, which was a newspaper, a large newspaper published by Joseph Pulitzer. So her editor asked her, Nellie, would you be willing to feign insanity to be committed to this asylum, to go undercover? And I'm sure it took her aback, but she agreed to do it. So she had to put on a bit of acting in New York City and to convince a landlady, two policemen, a judge, doctors, and nurses that she was insane so she could be committed to this institution, which she was.
How long was she in the institution?
She was in there for 10 days, and she eventually wrote a series of newspaper articles about it that later became a book called 10 Days in a Madhouse, and now it's a movie that's recently been released.
Well, can you read a little bit of Nellie Bly's writing around her experiences of being in that mental institution? It'll give listeners an idea of what she experienced.
This is when she, her first night there, and she was given a bath. The water was ice cold, and I again began to protest. My teeth chattered and my limbs were goose-fleshed and blue with cold. Suddenly I got, one after the other, three buckets of water over my head, ice-cold water, too, into my eyes, my ears, my nose, and my mouth. I think I experienced some of the sensations of a drowning person as they dragged me, gasping, shivering, and quaking from the tub. For once, I did look insane.
When she was in the institution undercover, she discovered that there were a lot of people who were in there that weren't in any way mentally ill, but they were there for a variety of reasons, one of them being that they didn't speak English.
Yes, there were a number of immigrants who did not speak English and could not defend themselves to get out. So Nellie noticed this right away, and she befriended some of the patients.
What was the ultimate impact of the series that she wrote?
People were appalled when they read about this. And so nurses... Some of the abusive nurses were let go. The food was improved. Money was poured into the institution, and some of the patients were released.
In many ways, she was much more than a journalist. She was a social reformer. Was this one of the first examples, or at least an early example, of how journalism was used for advocacy and to really affect social change?
Yes. Nellie cared about the underdog. She had had a lot of hardship in her youth, and she had empathy for people who suffered and who were abused. And so she set the stage for future journalists called muckrakers who weren't so sensational in their writing. They did not pose as someone other than themselves. But she paved the way especially for women journalists.
Well, talk about that term muckraker. When was that originally coined?
Teddy Roosevelt coined the term muckraker in a speech he gave. He referred to the man with the muckrake as someone who was always looking down, digging up the dirt of society and never looking up. And so although Roosevelt cared about social reform, he was sick and tired of all these journalists writing about corruption, crime, the food industry that was going wrong. So that's where the term originated, but many muckrakers viewed it as a badge of honor.
So this book, along with telling the story of Nellie Bly, it has activities to inspire young people to actually get involved in becoming a writer. Talk about some of the activities.
Part of the idea of the book is to make it interactive so that a young person would read a story or read about Nellie or Amy Goodman and then be able to continue on with the learning with an activity. So I have activities such as find the five W's in a news article, who, what, when, where, why, or how to interview someone, or how to write a letter to the editor. In fact, I passed by the activity by former editor Erica Stutzman at the Daily Camera. So these are just skills in writing, whether they go on to pursue journalism or not. I hope that the book inspires young people to know they can make a difference in the world with the power of words.